I'm on now. It's a pleasure to see all of you. I blew my opening. I'm sure that most of you have heard the old saying, seeing is believing, right? You've heard that before. Even the young ones have heard that before. It's been around a long time. And we're in a world that's filled with unbelievable things, unbelievable claims. And it's becoming more and more common for people to respond, I won't see it or I won't believe it unless I see it. And it's this very principle that caused Robert Ripley in 1933 to open his first auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. 1933. You know it now as Ripley's Believe It or Not. And it's just the whole concept of unless you see this, you're not going to believe it. And some things you may see that you just really still won't believe. And that's really the case, isn't it? There's things that happen all around us that, you know, and that's the problem. Seeing is believing. It doesn't always work. It doesn't always work. When you watch a magician perform a magic trick, when you watch this and you see this happen, you go, wait a minute now, something's not right with this. I don't think I really believe that that just happened. Because we know that there's some tricks that are going on. And so it's sometimes in life, things happen and we go, wait a minute now, that just doesn't seem to fit. That doesn't make sense. I don't know if I believe that even though I did see it. There was a group of people that we find in Scripture that had a similar problem. The Pharisees were eyewitnesses to many of the miracles that Jesus performed. But even though they saw, they still would not believe. And this is a problem. So this morning, my sermon is titled, Seeing is Believing, and Believing is Seeing. The text that was read in John 1 about Philip telling Nathanael about Jesus, there's a couple of phrases in that that just jump off the page at me, and I suspect they do to you as well. When Philip tells Nathanael, we have found the Messiah. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip simply said to him, come and see. Come and see. See for yourself. Seeing is believing. Come and see. And so Nathanael comes with him. I give him that. I'm proud of you, Nathanael, for coming to see him. And then when Jesus sees Nathanael coming, he says, look at this, an Israelite in whom there is no guile, in whom there is no deceit, New King James says. And Nathanael says, how do you know me? Well, I saw you before Philip called you. I saw you under the fig tree. Oh, you truly are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus says, because I saw you under the fig tree? Because I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? May I paraphrase? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see greater things than these. But the Pharisees saw great things. They saw miracles that Jesus performed. How many miracles have you witnessed? How many? None? And yet here you are on a cold Sunday morning. You get up, you get ready, you come to church. Why? Why? You haven't seen these miracles? Why are you here? Do you actually believe in Jesus? You do? Why? Why do you believe in him? You've not witnessed a single miracle that he did. Why do you believe in him? Why? How can you be sure that he is the Son of God? How can you be absolutely certain that this is God's word? How can you be sure? You haven't seen, and yet you believe. Kind of interesting, isn't it? I think it has something to do with one's mindset. I think it has something to do with one's honesty and what one believes more than what one sees. You see, they saw, but but they would not believe. In John 9, one of my favorite chapters in the book of John. In fact, we're going to be in the book of John pretty much entirely for this lesson tonight, this morning. And it may be tonight when we finish, but I don't think so. Jesus heals a man that was born blind, but he healed him on the Sabbath day. And that was the rub. That was the problem. It wasn't that he healed the man. He healed him on the Sabbath day, and that just doesn't click with these Pharisees. And so even with the evidence standing right before them, being able to see for the first time in his life, and they had plenty of evidence that this man had been born blind. And though they could see with their own eyes that Jesus had made that man whole, they still could not believe it. Listen to their reasoning as the dialogue goes on between the Pharisees and this formerly blind man. Listen, in John 24 beginning. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory." This is after they've asked his parents, "Are you sure this is your son that you say was born blind?" "Yes, this is our son, and yes, he was born blind." And there's other witnesses, lots of witnesses, "Yes, and it was Jesus that healed him." Lots of witnesses, but they call him again and they say, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. We know this." How do you know? Because he healed this guy on the Sabbath day. He healed this guy on the Sabbath day. That's how we know. Wait a minute, he healed him? He healed him on the Sabbath day. Healed him. That's how you know he's a sinner. He healed the man, but it was on the Sabbath day. That's how you know he is a sinner. My, my, my. And he answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know." Okay, I'll give the blind man honesty. Kudos for honesty. "One thing I know, though I was blind, now I see." That's what I'm focused on. That's what I'm seeing. I see the miracle that Jesus did, don't you? I see the miracle that he did. And so, what about my view on the Sabbath? Maybe I need to back up on my view on the Sabbath because the evidence is staring me right in the face. I can see this miracle that was done, and if I'm thinking, well, there's a problem here, why would he do it on the Sabbath? Maybe my view on the Sabbath is the problem. Could we think about that? Could we ever think about instrumental music that way? Could we ever think about baptism that way? Could we ever back up and honestly reconsider any and every doctrine we hold to be true in the face of overwhelming evidence? Could we back up and re-examine everything that we believe? We better. If we see God's evidence that is overwhelming, we better be willing to think and realize that maybe I have misunderstood something. Maybe I have misunderstood something. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have misunderstood the doctrine of the Lord's Supper or baptism or instrumental music or any of those things. I'm not suggesting we've misunderstood any of those. I'm just saying we better be willing to restudy anything in the face of overwhelming evidence. We better not think that our conclusions are greater than God's. We better not think that way. That's a big danger. And it's a big danger, especially for those that were raised in the church. Listen to me, folks that were raised in the church. It's the biggest danger for us, because I was raised in the church too. It's the biggest danger for us, because it's easy for us to just take for granted that the things that we always heard, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Well, how many changes have we noticed in life here? You know, in this congregation years ago, women were not allowed to wear pants. Did you know that? They had to wear dresses or skirts. That was the rule. That was the rule. And that rule is still applied in other places. But why would that rule be changed? Because people realized in the face of the evidence of Scripture, you cannot bind a rule that God did not bind. You cannot bind a rule that God did not bind. Did you know that it used to be a sin to shoot pool? Or to play with cards that had faces on them? Did you know that used to be a sin? Richard, do you remember when that was a sin? I remember when that was a sin, only it never was a sin. It was something that was bound upon people that God did not bind. And people came to realize, okay, wait a minute, maybe we've looked at this the wrong way. Maybe we've been going by tradition instead of by what the Word of God says. Brethren, seeing is believing, and believing is seeing. All right, but let's read on. I was blind. The one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. How do you know that God spoke to Moses? How do you know that? You weren't there. Oh, but they believe it. They believe it. How did they come to believe that? They'd examined the evidence. The Torah was right there in front of them. The Old Testament was right there in front of them. They examined the evidence. It made sense to them. They believed it. That's why they knew. Because they believed it. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. That was a slap against the fatherhood. Who Jesus' father was. That was a slap, a hidden slap against that. We don't know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, this is a marvelous thing. Watch this. You do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Church, that our eyes might be opened, that we might see ourselves as God sees us, that we might not cover ourselves with our own opinions or our own viewpoints, but that we would seek God's will, God's word, seek the understanding of God's word, that we would open our own eyes and see. He has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That is a bold statement. But the Pharisees could not see how Jesus could possibly heal this man and break the law of the Sabbath at the same time. Well, here's your problem, Pharisees. You're misinterpreting the law of the Sabbath. He did not break the law of the Sabbath. He did not break the law of the Sabbath. You guys have misunderstood the law of the Sabbath. You have interpreted incorrectly the law of the Sabbath. And thus they assumed Jesus to be a sinner, even in spite of the fact that he had healed this man that was born blind. So they ultimately ignored the plain evidence of this great miracle in favor of their interpretation of the Sabbath law. Brethren, they then took that formerly blind man and cast him out of the synagogue. Just like the threat was, if you go against us, we're going to kick you out. We're going to kick you out. The thing that I love about this story is what Jesus did next. As this man has been kicked out of the synagogue, basically, he's been cut off from that community. Cut off from that community. So when Jesus heard that they had cast the man out, he sought him out. He found him. Then Jesus asked him a question in verse 35 of John 9. He asked him a question. Do you believe in the Son of God? And the man wanted to make an informed decision. You know, believing is not blind faith. Believing is not blind faith. Believing involves examining the evidence. Look at what's before you. And so notice in verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? The question asked by Jesus brought this man to a place of examination of the evidence. I want to understand. I want to know. I want to get this right. Now, Philip says to Nathanael, come and see. Investigate. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Faith involves examining the evidence of the things which have not been seen. And there's some value to the idea of seeing is believing. I mean, you know, you check it out for yourself. God Himself said, test me. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Test me. Put me to the test. Now thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There's a difference. You don't try to push God into a corner. You don't try to make God do something by twisting things around in such a way that, you know, can God create a rock so big that He can't lift it? You know, you don't tempt the Lord your God. You don't try to push Him into a box. You test His will. You test His word. You test His promises. And your faith grows by that. Your faith grows by that. But that's what we're supposed to do, is examine the evidence. Look for ourselves. Now, there were some things this man already believed. All right? First of all, the man believed the word about Jesus. See, there's a good probability that the blind man who was sitting there in this public place for all these years, sitting there begging, had heard others speaking about Jesus, heard them calling Him a prophet. In John 7:40, it said He is the prophet. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. They heard this for them. People were saying this. And so this man repeated that in verse 17. He believed the word about Jesus. He is a prophet. Well, perhaps you believe the word about Jesus today. I hope you do. You know there's something special about Him. You may not know everything about Him, but you know there's something special about Him. You know that He is the Son of God. You know that He is the Lord and that He is the Savior of the world. You know the things that you've heard about Jesus. You've heard from this pulpit. You've heard as you've read Scripture for yourself. You know who Jesus is. You know about Him. And this man believed the word that he had heard about Jesus. Said He's a prophet. This man believed something else about Jesus. He believed the work of Jesus. I want you to notice in verse 25, he answered and said, whether He's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. That's what I know. I know what He did. I know what He did. And oh, this man did not have complete knowledge about Jesus. He knew that Jesus had made a difference in his life. He believed in the work of Jesus. Now listen, folks, there is a major truth that's found in this story. To this man, Jesus made a difference. And today, Jesus still makes a difference. To blinded eyes, Jesus still makes a difference. To broken homes, Jesus still makes a difference. To shattered dreams, Jesus still makes a difference. To one who may be in a hopeless situation like that blind man was, Jesus still makes a difference. Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you? That's what Jesus asked. That's what He asked this man, and He asks you and me today. Do you believe in the Son of God? Well, each of us faces crucial moments in our life. Each of us do. Each of us have times of crisis. Each of us have tests of our faith. Each of us have times when our faith is questioned. Do you believe in the Son of God? You have to make a decision, folks. You can either accept Him or you can reject Him, but you have to decide, and thus you pass judgment upon yourself. For if you accept him as the Son of God, then you are accepting his lordship over you. You are accepting that he died on the cross for you to help you with your sin problem. And that you are, if you accept him as the Christ, then you submit to him in humble obedience, in faith, in repentance, in confession, in baptism, in continuing to live a life as a child of God, in doing good works, in coming to services and worshiping him in spirit and in truth, in forgiving your neighbor and loving your brother and treating all men like you're supposed to, in being the person that Jesus wants you to be. If you believe he is the Son of God, then you will obey him. You will serve him. But you have to make that decision for yourself. I want you to notice what the blind beggar did. And he said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. The Pharisees, who refused to believe in spite of the evidence, they could not see the truth. They could not see that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Son of God. But the blind man believed, and he worshiped him. Are you hearing me? And he worshiped him. He saw the truth about Jesus because he believed in him. Believing is seeing. Abraham and Isaac, they're walking along together to the place of sacrifice. Isaac says to his father, here's the wood and the fire, you've got the knife. But where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham replies to his son, this one person that's with Abraham at this time, because he's left the two servants behind. He's going on up to the mountain, to the place of sacrifice. He says to the person that he's about to sacrifice to God as a burnt offering, the Lord will provide him a lamb. The Lord will provide. Abraham had faith in God. The Hebrew writer says God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19. Abraham believed that God was able to give him back his son, even if he killed him, that God was able to give him back. God's the one who gave him to him in the first place. When both he and Sarah were past childbearing, God's the one who gave it to him. Gave Isaac to them. He can give him back. Abraham truly believed, even though he didn't see it. But because he believed, he saw it. Mary and Martha. After Lazarus died, Jesus comes to town. First Martha sees him. Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. John 11, verse 20. But then he says in verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She knew because she believed. She believed enough that she could see it. She could see it for herself. Then in verse 32, when Mary came and she saw Jesus, she said the same thing. She fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Another one of those wonderful come and see statements. Seeing is believing, but brethren, believing is seeing. And I'm telling you, Mary and Martha believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Martha had said in verses 23 through 27 of that same chapter of John 11. She says those very words. I know that you are the Son of God. I know that. And I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Both of these had faith in Jesus. They believed. Therefore, they could see. And finally, we come to Thomas. Thomas in John chapter 20. Thomas, who was not there at the time that Jesus appeared to the disciples and gave them a blessing. Thomas, who was not there, when he got back, I don't know if he was out buying bread or where he was, but when he got back, they said, the Lord was here. We've seen him with our own eyes. And Thomas says to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. Thomas, you got a choice to make. That's right. And I will not believe unless I see it for myself. Unless I see it with my own eyes, I will not believe. Thomas, that's a choice you're making, isn't it? We make the same choice, don't we? We choose to. I will not believe it unless I see it. That's your choice, Thomas. So in verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. He just appeared in the midst of them. Peace be to you. Then he says to Thomas, picture Thomas. I want you to picture him in your mind. Use your imagination. Is he standing there with his mouth open? Does he have a look of shock in his eyes, on his face? I mean, picture this man. Don't you know Thomas remembers what he said? Don't you know he remembers? Unless I see it for myself, I will not believe. And so Jesus says to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Seeing is believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Well, Thomas, you got it. Good for you. Good for you. You got it. I hope that we've all got it too. We've read the scriptures enough. We ought to get it. We ought to understand it. We ought to grasp this so clear in our minds that whatever God says is the way it is. Whatever the scriptures tell us, that's the way it is, whether I like it or whether I don't. Whether I think it should be different or whether I think it should be this way or that. No matter what I think, what God says settles it. That's it. That's it. On the subject of the Lord's Supper, on the subject of baptism, on the subject of instrumental music, on the subject of marriage, divorce, remarriage, on the subject of the Holy Spirit, on any subject in Scripture, what the Bible says is the way it is, brethren. You can't change it. No matter how much you might want to. Now, don't get so smug in your own interpretation that you're not willing to continue studying, because, brethren, we need to. We need to. We've all got growing to do, every single one of us, with no exception. But Thomas finally sees it, so he believes it. And what did Jesus say to him? Thomas answers, says, my Lord and my God. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus says to him. This is the point of this message. This is the whole point of it all. Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Believing is seeing. You have a choice to make. You have to make that choice every day, every minute of every day. Do I believe? Do I believe enough that I can see the truth? Do I believe him enough that I can see which way I need to go? Do I believe him enough that I can see whom I need to serve? Do I believe it enough that I will resist the temptation? Do I believe it enough that I will hush my mouth and not speak ill of someone else? Do I believe it enough that I will be sure that what I say is good to the use of edifying and building up the brethren, building up the church? Do I believe it enough that I will refrain from those sinful habits? Do I believe it enough that I will study my Bible because my soul depends on it? Do I believe it enough that I will pray to my God because I need that communion with Him? Do I believe it enough that I will offer worship to God that is both not only in truth but in spirit with the right attitude? Do I believe it enough that I will share the word with others? Do I believe it enough that I will present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto my God. Do I believe it enough? The Pharisees could see, but they did not believe. The blind man believed, but he could see. Believing is seeing. See the truth. See God's love. See the scriptures. See the salvation that Jesus offers. See all of this because you believe in Him. And you believe in Him enough to do what He says, to follow His word unyieldingly, unendingly, unbendingly, that you will follow exactly what God says to be His servant, to be His child. Let Jesus save you. Let Him help you like He helped the blind man. Let Him help you to see by believing in Him and giving your life and your heart to Him. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, we invite you to come if you need to.